Last week, we tried to speak some about the fallen walls of Jerusalem. I hope that you are reading in this book along with me, and I hope that you get a sense of the sadness that Nehemiah felt as he walked around the walls of Jerusalem. It's kind of hard for us to imagine it because it's not our city. We might draw some parallels. If you went home today and you found your house had burned down, great tragedy. You'd be greatly disappointed. And so it is with Nehemiah. We have some details given to us. He talks about and tells us about walking around the walls at night. After he arrived at Jerusalem, was there for 3 days. And then he goes at night around the walls with just a few people. All the implication for that, I dare not venture to say, but it is interesting. The man is burdened. He wants to see how bad the condition is. And so he walks around the walls of Jerusalem at night. And after he has done that, we read in verse 13, I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then he returns and he speaks to the elders. Verse 17. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Now, speculating between this verse, the end of this verse, and the next verse, there could have been some great protest. You're talking foolishly. You don't understand the problems, how impossible it is. We're but a relatively small group of people in a hostile land, and you are talking about rebuilding these walls. Next verse. Then I told them of the hand of my God. That's a great, important phrase and something to remember always. The hand of my God. The promises of a sovereign, omnipotent, all-wise God that he has made to his people. Paul says in Philippians, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul says another time that I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, if you haven't experienced it, I'm telling you, you will experience it sometime. And that is the futile effort when you try to do the Lord's work apart from God's enablement and guidance and the Holy Spirit empowering. Every preacher has dealt with that, and I suppose every church member has sometime or other experienced that. And the Lord allows you to fall flat on your face just to teach you how much we need Him. Then I told them of the hand and my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. The work of building up the walls, restoring the walls of Jerusalem. Now, Israel had every right to to be very proud of Jerusalem and of Solomon's temple. It was the sole place on the face of the earth where God's people could worship. And the temple was a magnificent, glorious temple. And the people of Jerusalem, Israel, thought that they were totally, it was totally impossible for anyone to conquer them. We are the people of God. But they forgot some things. They forgot the word of the Lord. They forgot how important God has said, you shall not have any other God before me. The Lord said in Jeremiah, these my people have committed two evils. They have they have hewn them out cisterns. Let me get two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that cannot hold water. And so Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the city, and they were let off 70 years captivity. And so now Nehemiah wants to rebuild the walls. Now what I'm trying to draw a parallel to you and help us to make an application is that we, first of all, the Lord's church is spiritual Jerusalem. And the Lord has established his church and said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that does not mean that every congregation is going to be preserved and perpetuated by God. But it does mean that it will not go out of existence until the end of time when the Lord shall come. Matthew 28, go into all the world, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the ages. We have seen congregations go out of existence because of various sins in the church, various problems that arose, and the people did not obey the Lord. The Lord made promise and warning to the city, the church at Ephesus. I made reference to this last week. This city, that this church that Paul, the apostle, had been instrumental in establishing. And he praises them for some things, good things, traits. Then he says to them, nonetheless, I have somewhat against you. And that is that you've left your first love. So I said to us last week that the most important thing in a congregation, Brother Stacy made reference to this a while ago, most important thing in a congregation is not its size, it's not its building, it's not its wealth, but the most important thing in a congregation, and I am thankful that I feel like that we have been blessed to have that here, I trust God will be pleased to preserve and keep it with us, and that is the presence of the Lord. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. There's no place on the face of the earth that I would rather be than to be with a group of people where the Lord's presence is. That is indeed a most sacred, hallowed place to be. And it is a privilege to be in that atmosphere, to be in that setting where it is manifested that the Lord's presence is there. What happened to Israel? Well, you read, I read to you last week, they forgot the Lord. They departed from his commandments, and they began to practice false religions, idolatry. So, I've been trying to make an application and draw a parallel from that to us and to challenge us as a church. The most important thing in this congregation, I submit to you, is to have the presence of the Lord with us. No matter who your preacher is, how big your crowd may be, how nice your building may be, if you are without the Lord's presence with you, it is nothing more than a pagan shrine. That's how important it is. You may be meeting in a dungeon. You may be meeting in a cave somewhere, in a barn, with only two or three people. But remember the Lord's promise. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. I trust that you will be ever vigilant to seek to have the Lord's presence with us always. Now, I made mention last week that again that we are living stones in the wall of the Lord's house. We are made up collectively of living stones. It is a personal responsibility. It's not the preachers, just the preachers, not just the deacons. It is the responsibility of every person who's a member of this congregation to seek to live in such a way that the Lord's presence is with you and with us when we come together. That was the first thing that I said was most important. Second thing that I shared with you was that there was a departure from the importance of the Word of God. Churches all across throughout the world have watered down, have ignored, cut out, departed from the teachings, clear teachings, of the Word of God. And it has become so complacent. We are so complacent about it that we don't fear it. We don't have any reservation to say, well, that's just somebody else's understanding about that. I remind you again, whatever your understanding is about the Bible, mine, whatever my understanding is, we individually and collectively must give an answer to the Lord. He holds us accountable to His Word. It's not what the preacher says. It's not what our church believes. It is, what does the Word of God teach me? And how does it affect my life? A departure from the importance of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in the Word of God, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. No one can be a spiritual Christian. No one can enjoy the Lord's blessings unless they are walking in fellowship with the Lord and with His Word. What is a departure from the Word of God? What's the characteristic of it? Number one, a failure to read and study the Word of God. That's where it begins. A failure to read and study the Word of God. It's not just the preacher.